Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of these days. Thank you for the missions conference here. I pray you'll bless now the time as we begin a new study. And I pray that you'll give me wisdom. And Lord, give us a real insight. Would these next months be a real help to all of us, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, our new study is a study we did a number of years back, and that is the book by Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgemuth on Lies That Women Believe. And it's a very insightful study. It was a number of things. I remember when I covered it, I just said, there's a lot of things here I would never have thought about. I'm a man, number one. So that's part of the problem. And then it's just the insight which she has by working with women for years. She had the unique situation of being single for a good part of her life. So she understood all of those dilemmas, and then, of course, being married for some years. And so she's been able to look at the situations that women are in and be able to have some very helpful insight. Things that, and I would encourage you, like she said in her introduction, and that's what I'm going to be giving you today is the introduction. She said that one lady said she got so mad at the book she threw it across the room. Well, whenever that happens, that means that it's getting somewhere, okay? And so all I ask is, as I go through this, just don't get mad at me, okay? As I try to be faithful to the book, I'm just joking. Well, maybe not completely, but I will try to give these truths as they should be given. And it's always fun as a man giving a woman's perspective, but it's always helpful for me. Now, she's going to use the basic perspective of Eve. And of course, when you think about someone that was tragically deceived, that was Eve. And can you imagine what she went through as she was walking out of the Garden of Eden, clothed in skins? She saw the first death. Of course, that's a picture of the coming Messiah. For the first time, she saw bloodshed. She now was going to have to take care of a household where it wasn't easy anymore. She, in the Garden of Eden, had things just perfectly given to her. Now the ground would be difficult to cultivate, and she would have to work hard to be able to provide for her family. And then, inevitably, she had a husband who was struggling, I'm sure, with frustration with her, because this was a catastrophic result of her allowing herself to be deceived. And so I'm sure that was there. She was going to go through the pain of having a child. That was part of the curse. And to make it more painful, her first child was going to be a murderer. And her second child, which was a godly young man, was going to be murdered. You think about what Eve had to go through. And it was all because she was deceived. Now, the point here is that everything all of us go through, men or women, really gets down to allowing ourselves to be deceived and then following through with unbelief in God's word and a faith in the deception and in our own feelings. And we do that all the time. Not a person here would have trouble figuring out a testimony of an area that you were deceived in and realized that you had consequences because of it. We grow up being deceived. We are easily lied to. Satan is the father of lies. He's a murderer. And so this is something that we need to realize, that all of our different issues in life really come down to the fact of not knowing God's word and allowing God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. We don't have to have those awful problems that the world has because we have truth. We don't have to be deceived. But the fact is, because of our flesh, because of the sin nature that is there, thankfully we're a new creation, But because of all of that in the world that we live in, we do fall for deception. And let me just say right here at the beginning, it would, without being introspective, I think as we go through this study, be very important for us to understand that inevitably we're going to have exposed areas that we're deceived. And we need to look for those. Because that's freedom. That is blessing when you can start thinking right. Every problem we have, as I've already said, come because we don't think right. And so she is going to, in the different emphases that she'll be giving in this study, will bring up a imaginary diary of Eve, commenting on different things. And that's, I think, very, very helpful. As you know, she has spoken in many, many different places, and she would ask women what are the things that they are experiencing. And these were the top things that women were experiencing in more of a generalized sense. Women, marriages hanging by a thread. And we're talking about Christian retreats here, you know. Women whose hearts ache for their children. Women who are overwhelmed with past failures and wounds that they had. Women with intense personal struggles, real defeats. And women filled with doubts and confusion about the will of God. And I'm sure as I just quickly said those five things, that would hit a nerve with everybody in this room of one way or the other, okay? Because these are the things, because what does a woman care about more than her family if she has any sense of womanhood at all? I mean, your marriage and your family is the most important thing to you outside of the Lord himself. So that's a big deal. So any issues there at all are magnified. And then women today, especially with the attack on women, live with a lot of sense of failure. And also they have been wounded often, and it's just it's a bad day. When I was younger, the older generation of women were far less in the category of the failure and wounds mentality, just simply because they had a older generation that had a lot of Christian background, Christian ethics, obviously lots of problems every era. But it was a little bit different generation. Now I find you get women in their upper years, there's a lot of things that they feel about their life, failure and wounds that they haven't even communicated and are a real problem for them. You think that's with younger women. No, that's often now with an older generation that has come out of broken families before and broken families before that. I mean, no longer do we have that. So we have to address it. And I would say, don't be afraid to address these things in your heart. I would come each time, and as I would encourage you, many of you may have the book already, but if you don't have it, I'd encourage you at some point to get it. And don't ever run from something that is uncomfortable. I have found if I get a little uncomfortable with the truth that is given, that's where I need to run to. Because that's God's goodness to show me. That's another area I need to really have victory in. So I would encourage you to look at it that way. Our culture, of course, is very noisy in its thinking. A whole series has been done on that, the noisy soul. It's a sick culture. And honestly, women live, as she says, frazzled, exhausted, overwhelmed, defeated, discouraged, ashamed, confused, angry, frustrated, uptight, fearful, and lonely. And now what's so sad, ladies, the Z generation and the Alpha, that's the new one coming up, your junior hires and all down, loneliness is massive, massive with the young generation. Listen, we have one of the greatest opportunities to reach the young generation. They are open because they're looking for something. And I would encourage you, if you can have an impact on reaching teens, don't be afraid to talk to teens in good places, and especially if parents are around and all. I mean, you have a great opportunity to witness. Teens aren't the ones that have to reach teens. They're actually looking for folks that are mature that they can find help from. So these are some of the things. Now, the thing that she said that has been dramatic for her is the fact that because of all the frustration and all that, many women toy with suicidal thoughts. And that wasn't as common. And when she gets women to open up, it's very interesting. What I would say, if there's anyone in here periodically that comes up, that's just another lie of the devil, okay? And you've got the character not to think overly so about it, but that's simply an indicator of unsolved other issues that can be solved. But that is something that that is a reality. Spiritual bondage. Is another thing. Personal guilt and condemnation and a sense of defeat is just rampant among women. This was something that characterized the male generation when I was growing up. And women seemed to have that resilience and would bounce back according to truth and have a lot more freedom. Isn't it interesting which gender right now is going to church? The male generation. From the millennials down, there is a massive surge of men going to church. Women are opposed to it. Those that are voting conservative, Trump was put in by men. Women, of course, are far more liberal. I don't have the exact percentage, though. I think it's about 60% of women would vote radically liberal. And only about 40% of men. You say, why is that? When a woman gets caught in the moral problems of the day and doesn't get help after it, she will listen to the voices on the left to try to solve her problems. Because there is such a fine sense of protection that God puts in a woman, and when she crosses over that, if she doesn't understand the grace of God and doesn't get on biblical truth, she's really in trouble. And it's really an interesting study. And it's amazing the studies that are coming out. And if you were to look at a Charlie Kirk rally closely, you would see 2/3 young men, you would see 1/3 young ladies. So it wasn't just a political thing with President Trump. It was, it's far more than that. There is a hunger because men, though they may have been just as bad off, there isn't that breaking down of the barriers that are put into femininity by God to protect women. And so it's only the grace of God that can get ladies out of some of that despair and some of that very dark perspective on life. I know this isn't a very encouraging thing, but it is the world in which we live. And what I'm giving you are facts that are actually shocking the secular world. What happened to our control of the young generation? Now, to encourage you, the percentage of women, young women, that are interested in church has increased, okay? And it has, there is a surge among women on the conservative side of things. But remember, the whole abortion issue comes out of the moral problems. And so that's a double problem for women. And so I tell you, ladies, you got a great opportunity. There are so many young ladies you can come alongside of and give hope to. Because there is the whole point here was spiritual bondage. There is a lot more bondage in women coming up. Remember, women aren't getting married till the average age of around 30. And so there's just lots of new issues with women. Thankfully, our church breaks that mold. all the weddings we have with the younger ones, so that's a positive deal. But so it's a great opportunity for you to have a impact on young ladies. But the point here in this study is that if you see the deception in your life, then you can get free from that guilt and that oppression. And Satan can't get you. And remember, if we had testimonies here, there's things in background here that we'd all be tearful about, okay, if we were being open. But as you see new ladies walk in the door of our church, especially on the younger side, almost every one of them bring in baggage. They need to be loved. They need to be helped. We need to be on top of it. We've got to be able to communicate life. We've got to be able to communicate truth and be able to show them God does forgive. They have a whole life that can be used of God. God can make them pure and holy women that can be mighty servants in the hands of God. So this book can be a real handbook for you, not only for yourself, but you actually can become a counselor to deal with some of the very up-to-date issues. The book you have is a revised book. It's still been a few years since she did that, but it is a revised book dealing more with some of the issues that we face. So that's helpful. Now, what's God's will for us? Well, it was our theme a year ago, John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful? God wants us to be free of all of these situations. Now, having joy in your life, as we've said so many times, experiencing the abundant life doesn't mean that your life is free from problems. This is not a book on how to avoid problems. This is a book on how to properly live life as it inevitably will have problems. Now, you've got several reasons that trials come, and we'll get into that right now. But some of the most joyful, free, powerful women I know are those who have very hard situations, but they're living in victory. They've dealt with the deceptions. They're walking with God. I mean, you have women that are living in great victory but living in a painful marriage. That's tough. That's tough. Or just wept at the graveside of a child that died and maybe died with some real problems, you know. Or taking care of elderly parents or someone that is ill and a long-term illness. I mean, that's something that is very common that women have to deal with. And by the way, long-term care is one of those silent issues that people face that be sensitive to be able to just be an encouragement to someone like that, because they're not going to talk about it. They just do it, you know. And there's, so it's not about not having those kinds of issues and many others, but it's the wonderful grace of God that will allow you to have peace and confidence and wholeness in your life. And so the goal of this study is that God wants you to be free. God wants you to be gracious, filled with grace. God wants you to be known for being loving. That's in fact, I was just studying 1 Thessalonians last week. I spoke just a little bit on it Wednesday night. But how much the Apostle Paul gauged the health of the church at Thessalonica by two things. They had faith, which brought love. And he says it over and over. I, for some reason, just had never had that hit me like it did as I looked through it last week. And so loving is really the epitome. That's the greatest freedom you can have, is to not be about yourself, but to truly be living for God and others. That's where the joy is. To be confident. Wouldn't you like to be spiritually confident in God and not so insecure and so worried about what people think? To be content. You know, if you're constantly looking for more of whatever, you're not going to be content. stable, not up and down, but stable, joyous. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as we often quote from Nehemiah chapter 9. To have the peace of God and to have that radiance that comes because you're walking with God. Sound like a good set of goals? I think everybody, of course, we've talked about all of this very heavily with all the other studies we've been in, but that's where we want to go. And that's where you can go if you're willing to realize, I have not been thinking right. I have been deceived. Now, you say, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I'm not calling any of you an old dog, okay? I'm at the place now I can say those things, and so, because I am one. But anyway, but, you know, we get to a place where we put a little bit of a barrier around us, and we just sort of cope with where we are, and we're afraid to deal with wrong thinking. But that's the very reason you're struggling, because wrong thinking needs to be exposed, and you need to be able to get right biblical thinking. And so it's a real blessing. Now, again, as I often will say, there's no magic formula, but there is a great supernatural God with grace, and he is able to strengthen us day by day. But we have to give ourselves to the Word of God and to truth, meditate on it, act upon it, and have it become part of who we are. To be a person that can be a blessing to others, take truth, let it sink in, and get a hold of it, and then let it be part of it, of your life. And I tell you, it's so freeing. Again, I am thrilled about the privilege of being a pastor because I have to deal with truth all the time. So I'm forced to have to meditate on it. And I'm the one that I remember it more simply because I have to speak it. So once you get truth, speak truth. Speak truth to the people you're close to. Share how God's working. How God may have exposed a lie that you have followed. And how God has gotten you over that lie. That'll help somebody else, and it will put it into your mind far greater. And so I cannot tell you how important it is to speak truth once you get a hold of truth. So as you get it, write these things down. That's why I said it would be a good thing probably to read over the chapter. I want to warn you, when you read the chapter, you should say, did Pastor use this chapter or not? But anyway, I usually stick fairly close to it. But anyway, I am a man, and I will give my perspective too. we need to understand, and this is something that I trust you'll understand. The way God created men and women, women do have, and this is her whole thesis, women do have a propensity to be deceived. Remember, women in 1 Corinthians 14 are admonished, if you have a husband, to go find out the truth with your husband. And if you don't have a husband, then with spiritual leadership, there is something. And what's so sad is when we don't have godly male leadership, we're in trouble, okay? But the whole point is that there is a difference in how men and women think. And it doesn't mean that women are inferior. In fact, it makes you superior in so many ways because you're so sensitive to people. That emotion that you have, that love for your family, that subjectivism that is so critical for a husband-wife relationship or relationship with other people, that's a strength, but it can be a weakness that Satan can take advantage of and get you to fall for a lie. And so it's very important to be willing to say, I've been lied to, and I bought it, and I'm not going to buy it anymore. And to get that, remember, truth always corrects a lie. Would you say a good part of our culture is deceived? I mean, you think of all the things that are out there. I mean, it's real deception. You take the transgender situation. That alone, you talk about, I mean, you even have top atheists that are saying, listen, don't go with that because that's against the science. And yet people are deceived by it. And so And you know what's so sad to me is how many mothers have been deceived on the behalf of their children. You don't find many fathers, but you find many, many mothers being deceived. And Satan is very powerful. And let me say, was the deception to Eve, did that cause problems? Well, yes, it did. Now, we take responsibility for our own lives, but it certainly had much consequence. Remember, Satan acts and his demonic forces as angels of light. And so in the area, these areas of deception, here's something I want you to keep in the back of your mind. Ladies can go from being deceived about themselves to being deceived about truth and can believe a lie when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to certain aspects of biblical truth. So keep that in mind. And that's why we have to, line upon line here at the church, not for ladies only, men can, I'm just right behind them in it, but I mean, the only way you counter a lie is what? With the truth. And so really grab on to truth. And like I said, it's very easy. I can't believe how many ladies in their 50s and 60s are extreme liberals in our area. They have really fallen for the lie of many things. And they're in apostate churches and they, you know, believe it all. And so it is, and it's dominated, by the way, the liberalism in our area is dominated by the women, oftentimes. And they're the leaders. So again, there's nothing, men, you know, they're a bunch of wimps and they got their own set of problems. If this was a male group, boy, we would talk about lies men believe and we would get passionate about it. But this is the book about ladies, okay? So anyway, remember, keep remembering that. Okay. All right, let me just find a little couple of things here. Do remember that the behind a lie is Satan when it comes to truth. So this is a spiritual battle. And I would encourage you as you read the book or think about any of these things, ask God to give you victory over the evil one, and he will. Resist the devil as you submit to God, and he will flee from you. And Satan loves to keep you captured in wrong thinking. And if you break out of it, there may be a little bit of a battle, but it's a glorious battle to win, and you always will win if you trust the Lord. The last part of her introduction, she gives illustrations of women that wrote her that have been helped. I won't go over that. But just how wonderful it is what God will do. Why don't you turn with me in conclusion to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll just read this as an encouragement here and then I need to be done because there's a lot going on here this morning. Matthew chapter 11. And starting in verse 28. Here, let me get there. All right, here we go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And also unlearn the deception. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Satan will say the opposite. But when you get a hold of who the Lord is and what he will do for you and how what it means to truly walk with God, there is great freedom there. Okay, well, we will get started and look at the lies that women that believe. And I encourage you just to pray. I'm looking forward to it for my own personal life. I was blessed by it the last time. And like I said, it's a unique book because it deals with angles I would never think of. But they're very helpful, so, and I know many of you have already been helped by it.